made of wood, built by man. There it stood, salvation's plan. Adam's fall and my own sin, it was all placed on him. Without the cross, I do not know. Redeeming love that floods my soul. Without the blood, where would I be? I would be lost. Without the cross, mercy for spilled blood divine on Calvary's hill for all mankind, flowing through the ages past. Destined to reach me at last. Without the cross, I would not know. Redeeming love that sparked my soul. Without the blood, where would I be? I would be lost. Without the cross, I can't repay him for the grace he poured out on that tree. But I'll give my life to Jesus Christ for all he's done for me. Without the cross, I would not know. Redeeming love that sparked my soul. Without the blood, where would I be? I would be lost. I would be lost. I would be lost. Cross, without the cross.
I praise the Lord and thank you all for coming out tonight. You heard that I was preaching and you decided to come back anyway. Amen? And it is a privilege, and I always get just, I don't know, beside myself. I think about Pastor always introduces me, and I say, wow, I hope I live up to all of that he's saying. Amen? And I wonder who is it that he's talking about. But it has been a joy, and it has been a privilege to have been here for the start of this church and to be under pastor's leadership and to watch him grow as a preacher and to see how God has over the years have given us a kindred spirit, a love for the Lord and a greater appreciation for each other. But just to see how God has used him in this ministry here and see how this church has grown. You know, I can say one thing that I can say that I've never come to church since this. We started taking the things out of his car, rolling out the carpets, cleaning out the nurseries at the school over there at the Bonillas Elementary School, that I have not come and hear the word that my heart was not stirred and I was not blessed. And I appreciate that, and I praise God for it. And I say again, I hope that none of us would ever take that for granted, because there are many churches that don't have what we have here. It's a special place, but I believe we have a special man of God as well. And a lot of people cannot say that. And I praise God for him and for the ministry here and allowing me to be a part of what's going on. As been said many times years ago, don't give up your seat. I believe that God still has great things that he wants to do here. And I pray that God will use me tonight to be an encouragement. And brother, I always say, he say, you got to come back and hear him preach. Don't let me run you off. Amen. You come back and hear him preach. Amen. Let's take our Bibles and stand with me, if you would. Let's take the our Bibles and stand. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. I want to do something that I always find hard to do, but I hope that we can pick up from where we left off the last time that I had opportunity to preach. To finish up here, I don't know whether we'll finish up tonight either, but there's some things I want to share again tonight as we look at this chapter, chapter 3, and we look at this book, the things that Paul is writing about. I'm just for the sake of time, I'm just going to read one verse, and I wanted to draw some our attention to this area of Scripture and share some things that God has shown me. I believe that will be a blessing to us as we get into this message here tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 10. Okay, I'll read that one anyway. I thought I'm going to do like we've done before. Let's read verse number 10 together. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Amen. Father, thank you again for tonight. God, we thank you for your blessings, and God, we thank you for the privilege that we have to stand in your stead tonight. And I pray, dear God, by the Holy Spirit's power, that you would forgive me of any sin, empty me of self, fill me with your spirit, that we might say the things that you would have your people here that are under the sound of my voice to hear tonight, that we can leave here tonight after being strengthened, after being encouraged, that we'll leave here tonight and say that it has been good to have been in the house of the Lord. And I just praise you tonight, Lord, and thank you for the simplicity of the gospel, yet but the power of the gospel, that it can make a change and a difference in the hearts and lives of people for all eternity. And God, I pray tonight, if there be something said that would perk that heart that's here tonight, that's not assured of heaven being their home tonight, that they would make that decision for you before it's eternally too late. God, I pray, bless now in a special way. Meet with us here tonight that we might sense your presence. May your spirit move amongst us tonight and again work in a special way. And we pray that everything that we say and do may it bring glory and honor to you, because truly you are deserving of it all. And we ask all of these things now in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. A couple of months ago, we had an opportunity to share it with you all about some things that, you know, every year I always try to, as a man of God or as a Christian, to always look at something or ask God to give me something each year that I want to have my life to be changed and take a greater walk or step into my relationship with God. And as I looked at this area of scripture, I thought about what the Dr. Chappell has wrote a devotion that was the first devotion of this beginning year. And he used this area of scripture. And as I began to look at this area of scripture, and I looked at this verse, chapter number 10, and the lateral part of that, it says, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. And, you know, I believe that each one of us Christians, as we're going to be what God would have us to be, we ought to be building our lives in such a way that it would be pleasing to God in everything that we do. We don't want to be stagnant as Christians, but we want to be building on the foundation that Paul is saying that's already laid in our lives. And there's no greater foundation, as he says, that could be laid than that of Jesus Christ. But we have a responsibility as Christians to build on that foundation. But we want to build on that foundation in such a way, when we stand before God and give account for how we have built, we are accountable to God that we build it in a way that will be pleasing, and we will receive the rewards that God has for us if we build them in the right way that will be pleasing to him as we stand before him. Amen. You know, one day we're going to all stand before God, and he's going to reward us for that which we have done. And we're going to be responsible to him for how we did it, and to do it with the right spirit, to do it with the right heart, and to do it with the right attitude. And as I was looking at Dr. Chappell, and he was saying, and part of this that I was looking and reading, he says, while each of us has different talents and abilities, we are building on the same foundation, Jesus Christ. He is the basis for everything that we have, everything that we are, everything that we would do. One of the greatest challenges for Christians to face in our day is a careless and aimless drift through life. Too many have been content with the firm foundation and neglect their responsibility to build something eternally with their time, their talents, and their treasures. And I believe that to be very true. And he also goes on to say the year before us has great potential and opportunities, but it will only be realized if we are faithful to build on what has already been done rather than to decide to be content and rest on our laurels. I believe it to be true. And the challenge that I want to share with us tonight here, as Paul is writing, he's challenging us to do that and take heed how we build. But I want us to notice some things that I shared the last time was to look at the observation as to what Paul was writing and why he was writing to them. Here they were, a church that had a desire to have something that they were not ready to have. I was thinking about the Reyes' little daughter, and I knew that she would be in here tonight. I don't know if she would let me hold her, but I'm going to try and see what she does. I want to use it as an example because I believe what Paul is writing here and showing us that we can want to and have a desire to have something, but we are like children sometimes or a baby, and Paul would not want to give them something that they were not ready to have. And I want to ask the mom tonight, would you give this young lady a food that she could not digest? No. You wouldn't give her food that she could not digest. And Paul says, I have fed you with milk because that was all that you were able or capable of digesting and having. And here it is. I think a lot of times we as Christians, we want the deep things of God, but we're not ready for the deep things of God because we have not mastered the minute or the baby things of the Word of God to the point where he would give them something that they're not capable of digesting and being able to handle. And so we have to be understand that you wouldn't do that to this child. You wouldn't feed her a steak. You wouldn't give her potatoes. You wouldn't give her all of that thing. You would give her meat. But as she grows and gets older, you would give her a diet that she would be capable, as she grows, that she would be capable of digesting and handling. And is it the same thing with the Word of God? I believe that we as Christians tonight, we got to be careful about the diet that we have. Uh-oh, we done got tangled up there. And she's going to be preaching here in a minute. Amen. We got to be careful as to what we ask for because we may get more than what we want for. And as Paul was writing, he says, wait a minute. Let me read it here tonight. He says, wait a minute. You want these things, but you're not ready for these things. One of the things that Paul was writing about to the church at Corinth is like many books in the Bibles that are written in the New Testament, and the writings were dealing with problems and issues that were going on in the churches that he was writing to. And one of the things that was going on here at the church at Corinth that he's writing here about was that the disunity that was there between the people. And the disunity came because, as I was saying, when you look at this observation as to what was going on, their diet did not allow them to do the things that they ought to have been doing. They were acting like children. They were immature. He says you were carnal in your thinking, and the way that you were operating and the things that you were doing, you were carnal in your thinking. In other words, carnality has the idea that you're acting like little children. And you're not ready for the meat or the things of God that you think that you're ready for because you have not mastered the milk that I fed you with because you're not ready for it. You wouldn't give her that either because if you know it's not going to be good for her, you're not going to give her those things. You know, it's a lot of us, we said last time as we looked at it, as Paul is saying, are you not carnal in this observation that we looked at and saw here? Look at verse number 1. And he says, and brethren, could not I not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ? I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear, and neither yet are you able to do it. So Paul here tells them he wanted to feed them, but he could not because of their diet. When we think about our diet, if it's not where it ought to be, we're going to have some deficiencies. And I believe when we as Christians have not gotten hold of the simple things after we get saved, we're never ready for the maturity things that come as we grow in the Lord. Amen.
So if we got a diet that's not what it ought to be, I use it as an example. You be like they say, you see that commercial where they say, you see this person all riled and all roughed up, and they give them a Snickers bar to calm down that rousing that they have because they are acting grumpy and grouchy when we think about a person behaving that way. And when we look at this area of Scripture, Paul says you are carnal in your thinking and your actions. He said, look, I would have fed you with milk, but not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear, and neither are you ready. They were neither able to do that in the beginning, and now they're still not ready for it. And I believe what happens in the Christian life when we are neglecting the Word of God, the way that God would have it to be nurturing and growing us spiritually, we're going to have some deficiencies. And that deficiency is going to cause some problems.
Right. Amen.
And those deficiency is going to cause some problems. And Paul is addressing that in verse 3. For ye were yet carnal, whereas there was among you envy and strife and divisions. And are you not carnal and walk as men? And when we have a deficiency in our diet spiritually, number one, there's going to be some envy. There's going to be some strife. And there's going to be some division because we are carnally acting and behaving because we're not growing spiritually.
Right.
We're not growing the way that God would have us to do. He says, are you not carnal and walk as men? In other words, you can get saved, but if you don't grow spiritually as a Christian, you're going to go back to your worldly way of thinking and your worldly way of doing things. And it's going to be a problem in the house of God because we're going to allow any little thing to come along and any peddly thing that happens between you and somebody else, it's going to cause problems because spiritually you're not growing in the Lord.
Amen.
The way that God would have you to do. And this is what he's talking about. He says, for a while, one say, I am Paul, and the other, I am Apollos. Are you not carnal? So here's their thinking. They want to look at the personalities and the persons, and they want to follow them. In other words, one side is following Paul, the other side is following Apollos. But Paul says in verse number 5, who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believe, even as the Lord have gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gives the increase.
Right.
Who am I? I'm just a minister. I'm just a minister with a message from the master to give to you so that it's going to help you to grow. But you're not ready for it. That's all it was. He was not setting himself up to be anything. We ought not be following a man. We ought to be following the master. I learned a long time ago as a Christian, and y'all hear me say it many a times, one of the things that I still try to live by today that I always said when I was under Pastor Kraft's ministry, and when he left Spain and came back to the States, and he left and he asked me, and y'all hear me say it many a times, Kenny, if I leave, what are you going to do when I leave? I'm going to continue to serve the Lord. I'm going to continue to serve God. I wasn't following Pastor Kraft. I was following my Savior. And if you as a Christian today and this year in your Christian life, you ought not follow the pastor. Amen. You ought not be following because if something happened to him, you ought not stop serving God because Pastor Dawson stopped serving God.
Right.
You ought to serve God because he's your God. And because you love him, you're mature enough in the Christian life that you ought not let what happens to somebody else keep you from serving your God. This is what Paul is talking about. So this observation here, and then he gives the explanation as we talked about it before. Who then is Paul? And who then is Apollos? And he goes on and says, we're just ministers. So then neither, in verse 7, neither is he that planteth anything, and neither is he that watereth anything, but God gives the increase.
Right.
Then he goes on, he gives the explanation. Now he that planteth and watereth is one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. What Paul is given as an explanation, you ought not be following behind a person. It's foolish to follow behind a person. It's foolish to try to set us up on a pedestal. And he tells them why, that I'm feeding you with milk because you're not ready for meat. He gave them the explanation as to why they were doing it. Because of their behavior and their way that they were acting, it was carnal minded. It's just like the way that the world thinks. How many of us have ever been to a place where one side of the people that you work with, they want to follow this boss? One side of the shop wants to follow this person. And you got disunity in the work area. And the same thing happens in the church.
Right.
You ought not be following me because I'm good looking and got hair. And Pastor Dawson is okay looking without any hair. Amen. It ought not be like that.
Right.
You ought to be following God because God is God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
And when I think about that, the observation and then the explanation, because they were complaining, Paul, we want some deep things. We want all of these other things. And he says, you're not even ready for it.
Right.
And I want us to look at tonight a couple of things. There are six things that I want to talk about, and we're not going to get all six of those things in. Amen. So y'all gonna have to come back for the rest of the story. But I wanted to think about the observation and the explanation, but he's also going to give us to talk about the recognition for how we. So we got to be careful how we build, because if we're not doing it the way that God wants it to be built, we're doing it with carnal thinking. And that's not going to please God. So look at what he says here in verse number 9. For we have labored together with God. Ye are God's husbandmen and God's building, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, another buildeth thereupon, but let every man take heed how he build thereupon. So Paul says, okay, I've laid the foundation. So now that the foundation is laid, it is your responsibility to take responsibility for how you build on that.
Right.
You know what? You can't build on it sitting at home. You got to be in the house of God.
That's right.
You got to be under the sound of the preaching and teaching of the word of God. I'll tell you, so many Christians today who, when something doesn't go the way that we want it to go, and Brother Brad hit the nail on the head yesterday, and I kept thinking about that as Brother Sam was sharing the message that he was teaching, that there's so many Christians, when things don't go the way that they want it to go, the first place that they would neglect is the house of God.
Amen.
And that's the first place you ought to be at.
And
as hard as it may seem to be around Christians, you'll be around people who understand what you're going through. There are no temptation taking you, but such is common to man. And God is faithful and will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but with the same temptation, make a way that you may be able to escape, and that a way that you may be able to bear it. And there may be somebody here in the church that is going through the same thing, who have been through the same things that you have gone through. But you got to want to be in the house of God.
Amen.
You got to be wanting to be under the sound of the preaching and teaching of the word of God. I'm going to get on this soapbox and I won't never get through any of these notes that I have. Amen. I do have some notes. Amen. So think about it here. We see the observation, the explanation, the foundation is laid, but the recognition of building here. Notice what it says in verse number 8. Now he that planted and he that watered are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. It is certain that every one of us is going to receive a reward when we stand before God for what we've done or for what we have not done. Every man is going to do that. So I got to be making sure in my Christian life that I'm building some things that's going to withstand the test of time. And what is it that I can do? One of the first things I say is I got to be in the house of God.
Amen.
I got to be reading the word of God. I got to be meditating on the word of God. I got to be spending time with God. And you said, brother, that's just the basic. You know what? That's what every one of us need to do.
Amen.
And if you're honest with yourself tonight, how many of you do all of that?
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
How many of you do that?
Go ahead.
You know, it's just the basic stuff. How many of you came out yesterday for door knocking? How many even go out door knocking? You know, as Pastor was talking about this wall, and we had no idea we were going to be talking about these same verses of scripture, but building the wall or building, it's going to take some building, but you got to be building something in your life.
Right.
For you to be able to give somebody else something, you got to be building something in your own life.
That's right.
That you can share with them. So here he's talking about here that there's a promise that there's going to be a reward given, and there's a certainty that is going to happen. But there's a condition as to what will happen according to his own labor. What Paul is trying to say, Apollos, nothing can be done. One watereth and one planteth. You know what? Every one of us is called to do something different in the house of God.
Right.
We all don't have the same ability. But you know what? Every one of us is going to be rewarded for our own labor. Not how much we did, but how we labored in that which we did.
That's right.
Does that make sense to you? Because he says, according to your own labor is how God is going to reward you. If you ain't do much, you ought not expect much.
Amen.
A man don't work. Gee, what he don't what? He don't eat. If you haven't done much, you ought not expect much.
That's right.
You know, one thing I don't want to do this year, God may call me home. He may call you home. I look around, and we said it, Pastor said it, we had no idea last year Miss Isidore was going to leave us. Brother Roger comes every year, and I know he can look around. There are some people that are not here that were here when he first started coming here, for whatever the reasons may be. But one thing I don't want to do is stand before God and be ashamed that I stand before God and I don't have nothing to offer him because I have not been laboring.
That's right.
I can't fault my wife. I can't fault the preacher. I can't fault nobody but myself because he's going to reward me according to my labor,
right,
not according to what somebody else does. He's going to reward me for what I've done. So that's how it's certain, but that's how he cautions us, because it's going to be done according to that person's laboring. So there's the recognition here, but it also gives us a precaution that we ought to do it and be careful how we do it. But the performance of it, it goes down onto verses just a little bit further. Look at verse number 11. He says, other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So there's nothing greater that we can do with the foundation, but we can build on that foundation according to how we labor ourselves. But look at verse number 12. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be tried by fire. Or revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work, whatsoever it is. Notice here, first of all, the difference in character. Gold, silver, and precious stones are the excellent things that we look at in this life in which we live. Those things are the most valuable things, because those things will withstand the fire that our works is going to be tried and measured to, because it's going to be tried by the fire that God is going to be measuring. So wood, so gold, silver, and precious stones are those things that can be put to the test of the fire, and it brings out the impurities of those things that are in there, and they hold value. But the thing that holds no value is the wood, hay, and stubble. Fire is just going to burn those up. Amen? So the excellence of our work ought to be that which is be able to withstand the test of time. It is like precious gold. It is like silver. It is like the precious things that we can find in this life. It's what our Christian life and our works ought to be able to withstand the same thing when we think about those things and what they will, the value that they hold. If what you're doing is like wood, hay, and stubble, you strike a match to it, it's going to be gone just like that. And you're going to be disappointed. And when you stand before God, the things that you thought that you were doing that held value, they may not hold the value that you think that they're holding, because they got to pass God's test. So we got to get busy, because we're going to give an account. We're going to give an account. And I say it again, one thing I don't want to do in my Christian life is become a stalemate. And I pray and ask God every day, God, help me to be usable by you. The preachers are not exempt from not doing the things that God would have them to do. They may be held to a higher standard, but I'm no different than you. I face the same battles. I face the same devil that you face in your life. And if he can divert you from doing the things that God would have you to do that's going to withstand the test of time, you know what? He will do that.
That's right.
He will do it. And it begins, I say it again, it begins with being in the house of God. It begins with being in the Word of God. It begins meditating on the Word of God. It begins with memorizing Scripture. And one of the things I tell you that you can do in your Christian life is to take the Word of God and show somebody else how they can be saved.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, that's the greatest joy in the Christian life.
That's right.
When I went yesterday and talked to Brother Danny's father-in-law and his wife's dad, I tell you, it reminded me of my father, because the last time that I saw my dad, he wasn't breathing on his own. It was a machine that was breathing through him. And all I could remember was I would see every time that that machine would give him oxygen, I see his body, his chest rise about that high. This is basically the same thing that her dad was going through. And that's what it reminded me of. But you know what? I thank God that his word is powerful and it is true. And when I asked him, and as I shared as a testimony this morning, I asked him and told him who I was and why I was there, to make sure that if you die and leave this world, that you know that you will open your eyes in heaven. Do you want me to take the Bible and show you how you can be saved? And he looked up at me with every little ounce of strength that he had. He looked up at me and he opened his eyes and he nodded his head.
Amen.
And I believe that by the grace of God, he heard the truth from the Word of God. And I went through the scriptures with him. And I said, and do you understand that at this time you have to make a choice? You can decide to receive Christ as your Savior right now if you want to pray this simple prayer. You may not be able to audibly vocalize it because he got that tube in him, but you can say it in your heart and mind, and God will hear your prayer.
That's right.
And I pray, repeat after me. And I'm going to allow you, between the words that I say, allow you to repeat those words. And when we got done, I asked him, did you understand what we just did? And he looked up at me with just a little bit of strength that he had to open his eyes enough to where he could see me, and he nodded his head. I'm going to tell you what, folks. It don't get no better than that.
Amen.
It don't get no better than that. And I'm afraid a lot of Christians are going to go through their Christian life, and you're going to stand before God, and you'll never have a soul in heaven that you won on your own by sharing the gospel with them, because you've never shared the gospel with anybody. But you're going to stand before God. And you can't live on my labor, the preacher's labor. You're going to have to live on your labor, because you're going to be rewarded for what you do.
Right.
So is it gold and silver or precious stone, or is it wood, hay, and stubble? See, that's the excellency, but the emptiness of serving God is the wood, hay, and stubble. There are going to be a lot of people that are going to stand before God and think what they've done is going to be of some value. And you know what? When you light the match to it, it's going to burn up.
That's right.
And you're going to be disappointed. And I'll tell you something right now. I've been many a days when my dad asked me to do something and I didn't do it. And sometimes he got the Board of Education to make sure that I understood it so I could be well educated.
Amen.
Amen?
Sure you would.
That's what he would do. But you know, sometimes when we have the relationship with our parents that we ought to have, he don't have to say anything. Just look at you. And you know that you disappointed that parent. And you know what? I believe it's going to be the same way in our Christian life. We're going to stand before God and we're going to be empty-handed. And we're going to have the wood, hay, and stubble. And it's going to have no value. And I'm going to tell you, one of the saddest looks that you can have as a Christian is to look in the eyes of your Savior, and you have no rewards to give him that amount to anything.
Amen.
Because those things are empty. So he gives the observation, he gives the explanation, but he wants us to understand the recognitions that is going to take place in the Christian life. And so how are we going to fare? He shows us these different things that are going to withstand the test of time. Churches today are full of people who are going to offer wood, hay, and stubble, and no silver and gold, no precious things. And you know what? Look at this verse here, verse number 13. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because he shall receive, it shall be revealed by fire. And again, the rigor here is fire, is God will examine our performance thoroughly. That's what fire does to whatever it's put to. When we think about precious metal, silver and gold, it's going to refine it. It's going to bring out the best in it. It's going to bring out the purity. It does a tremendous job of examining the material that it's talking about. So we see the rigor of it, but look at the revelation of this examination. He says everyone, everybody is going to stand before God. And he says in verse 13, for the day shall declare it, because he shall receive, it shall be revealed by fire, but the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. War, what sort it is. You know what? You can offer it fleshly and think that it'll be okay, but it's not going to be okay. And I'm afraid that a lot of times we as Christians, and that's what Paul is speaking to them about, a lot of things that we do it in the flesh and not in the spirit. And when you're doing something for God and you're in the flesh and you're doing it, it don't have no reward. It's not going to have any value, because it's fleshly done. So he's talking about here, the sort is the characteristics or the character in which you did it with. How many of you ever thought about what somebody see or what somebody don't see when you're doing something and nobody else is around? Mm-hmm. You know, that tells a lot about who you are and what you are by how you do what you do when you think nobody's looking at what you're doing. Because he says what sort of work that it is. What sort is how it's going to be tried. When nobody's looking, how do you handle what you do? See, nobody's going to follow me home tonight and tomorrow morning say, Pastor White, get up and read your Bible.
That's right.
Nobody's going to. My wife might say, honey, ain't you reading your Bible? And she wouldn't even say that. Are you praying? I hope y'all praying for me. I need prayer. Nobody's going to make you spend time in prayer. Nobody's going to make you read your Bible. Nobody's going to make you memorize scriptures. We might ask and challenge you in the Sunday school. We might challenge you from the pulpit. You might be challenging your class, but nobody's going to make you do it. But what you do when nobody's looking is going to determine what sort of work is going to be produced in your life.
Right.
And you know what? I have no right to judge your heart, but I have a right to judge the fruit that's bared from the kind of heart that you do have.
That's right.
And for what kind of work that you do. See, I can be the fruit inspector, but I can't be the heart inspector.
Right.
Y'all understand that?
That's right. Amen.
You know what? If you don't plant anything, you ought not expect to get anything. When I was growing up, I didn't expect to have no corn and tobacco and peanuts and cotton and all of those things. Y'all know nothing about those. You've never been raised on a farm. If we didn't plant anything, how could we expect to get anything? And if you're not planting anything in your Christian life, you ought not expect to get anything.
That's right.
And you're going to be rewarded for what sort of work that you do, is what he's talking about here. Let's move on. Oh, how am I doing for time? I ain't got no watch on, so if we go to 12, it'll be okay. Amen? Amen. That's good stuff. All right, so here we see here, he's saying here what sort deals with the character, but notice what else it says here in this verse. And he says, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work as what sort it is. If a man's work abide, which he have built thereupon, he shall receive reward. The abide has the idea of being what every one of us ought to be, and it is to be faithful. The word abide has the idea to persevere, to continue, to remain steadfast. You must be faithful in serving God. Moreover, it is required in steward that a man be found what? Faithful. That is what is going to abide. That's what the abiding that he's talking about. You know, you can go out and you can get all excited because you got challenged tonight. Next Saturday, not this coming Saturday, but the following Saturday, you can come out on visitation. Boy, Pastor White just got me stirred up. I'm going to go out and visit and knock on doors. Okay, about July, where will you be? Faithful. See, that's just the basic stuff. Knocking on doors and hanging out flyers is just the basic. But are we doing those things as a Christian?
Go ahead. Go ahead.
We come and we want the deep things of God, but we're not even doing the practical things of God. And I'm not saying it because I'm trying to set myself up to be anything else. But how many souls have you asked God to give you this year? You know, you ask him, he might give you an opportunity.
That's right.
If you never asked me as a father for something, then I believe as a child, they don't want anything. Well, they don't have any problem asking dad, they don't have any problems whatsoever doing that. But if you don't ask God to give you an opportunity to witness and tell somebody about him, you may not win a soul to the Lord.
Amen.
But there ought to be somebody this year that you ought to put on your list of people that you want to see get saved. You ought to be faithful to witnessing to people. If you want God to be faithful in himself and doing what you want him to do, as far as that loved one or somebody that you know that needs God in their life, you ought to be faithful to God, and may God be faithful to you, because he may send somebody to win that person that you laid on your heart.
Amen.
And your family that needs to be saved.
Right.
But you ought to be faithful in what you're doing. Why would he bless you, God help us, when we're not faithful ourselves? Because we ought to be abiding. He says abide. It has the idea of just being steadfast. I'm going to go out and witness because I want to see my family get saved. I want to see people that I work with get saved. I want to see people in this church grow. So if I want to see people do that, I need to be faithful, because somebody is watching you and what you do, no matter how much you think that they are.
That's right.
Or that they're not, because somebody's watching you. Mm-hmm. And the people at your job see the God that you say that you love by how you act, but how much are you telling them about how good God is to you? Are you faithful in being a witness and telling people about how good God is? Are you faithfully giving out tracts? Are you faithfully looking for opportunities to share the gospel with somebody? That's just the basic, what do you say, Serge, 101. That's just the basic stuff. Those things that we ought to be doing. Abiding. Be faithful. Be faithful to the house of God. When the doors are open, you ought to want to be here. And if you're coming just because you have a ministry, believe me, when you get to heaven, it's going to be all burned up.
That's right. Amen. That's right.
Because, see, you're not coming for the right reason.
That's right.
If you're coming only because you can sing in the choir, I'm going to get in there one of these days.
Amen.
They need me. No, just kidding. If you're coming just because you teach a Sunday school class, you're coming for the wrong reason.
That's right.
If you're coming just to clean the bathroom, praise God. We hope we need that. Amen. No, just kidding. But if that is the only reason that you come into the house of God, you're not doing it for the right reason.
That's right.
See, that's wood, hay, and stubble. Those things are going to be burned up. Because you know what? I may not know your heart, but God knows your heart.
That's right.
And those kids know whether you're genuine or not. You know, one of the most practical things about young kids and kids, they know exactly who they can trust and who they can't trust. They know exactly when you're genuine and when you're not genuine. And you can come and you can have the most eloquent speech. You can teach in the most elaborate way, and you can come across the most eloquent and still be just as empty on the inside.
That's right.
As all get out. See, God knows. God knows. We can't hide from God, because we're going to have to stand before him and we're going to be tested. And the abiding here has the idea that it's going to be steadfast. It's going to be unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain. So it's got to withstand the test of time. But notice what else he says. I'm going to take one more point here of some things I want to share. Notice, first of all, that we see here the observation. We see the explanation. We see the recognition. But we also see here the declaration of what's going to happen when we stand before God. It's going to be tried by fire. It's going to be what sort that we've done. It's going to be whether we've been faithful. It's going to be where it is, be that which is abiding. But I believe as Paul, and I didn't say this from the beginning, I believe as Paul looked out here, he's pointing out some things to them that you're taking so much for granted and you're not even doing those things. He was explaining these things to them. And the declaration was the fact that it's going to be proven, you know, the rewards are going to come forth, but they're going to be tried, they're going to be tested, but the destruction here also. Because I believe a lot of times we as Christians, you say, what are you talking about here, Pastor? Look at verse number 15. If a man's work shall be burnt, he shall suffer loss, that wood, hay, and stubble, but he himself shall be saved by fire. You're going to just make it into heaven by fire. But he says, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? And if any man defile the temple of God, he himself or him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which the temple ye are. So he's warning them about the destruction. I'm going to tell you one of the most prevalent things that's happening in Christian life today is that people don't realize Paul is not reminding them of something that they shouldn't already know. When you got saved, you ought to realize that your body became the temple of God.
That's right.
And the defilement that he's talking about is that of destruction. There are many Christians today who still want to live in the world and be like the world. And the Bible tells us, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And you are people as Christians are treating the temple of God just like those men that Paul is talking about. You're acting carnal when it comes to what you do in your body, because your body is the temple of God. And we are literally as Christians destroying the body that God has given us. You say, how are we doing that? Because you're doing things with it that it ought not be done with it. You know, when I got saved, there were some things that I had to give up. And I tell you what, I didn't have any problem doing it. I got reminded of him. But there are many Christians that are still living just like they were before they got saved.
That's right.
They're still doing the things that they ought not be doing. And I'm going to say this, and people may not like it. And some may have had them before they got saved. But you know, if you've gotten saved and you're getting your bodies tattooed, it's not pleasing to God.
Right.
It's not. And there are many Christians that are doing that. And you say, well, this ain't no big thing. But yes, it is. It is a big thing. Because your body is the temple of God. Jeremiah told me this morning, Romans 12 and verse 1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What you do with your body has everything to do with you being
right.
A Christian.
That's right.
And many Christians today are destroying their body that houses the temple of God. And I believe Paul was reminding them because it wasn't just the disunity that was going on. It was immorality. It was people still living like they were still in the world.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And he says, are you not carnal in your way of thinking? You don't even think about what you're doing to the body and how you're destroying it. That is not pleasing to God. Smoking. Drinking, what you set before your eyes, it's part of the body. What you wear and what you put on it, it's part of the body. Because that body ought to represent the temple of God. It's holy. And many of Christians today, we don't want to live holy. We want to live worldly. We want to have one foot in the world and one foot out of the world. We don't want people to know that we're Christians. I don't want to wear that because it doesn't make, I don't want to do that because I just don't think that Pastor Dawson has any right to tell me what to wear. But it ain't him.
That's right.
It's the word of God.
That's right. Come
on. He says, know you not that your body is the temple of God? You ought to present it to him as a living sacrifice. I don't know anybody want anything dead. He wants a living sacrifice. That's what God can use. And you know what? He's worth it.
That's right.
He's worth every bit of it because of what he did for you. He was willing to put his body through all that it went through so that you could have salvation tonight. And we'll take ours and we'll do whatever it is that we want to do with it. You know what? We need to run it by God. Is that pleasing to God? Is that okay? Is that what I ought to be doing with this body that I get, that I have? I wish that mine would go to sleep at night. I struggle with that. But you know what? When I'm awake and mindful of what I'm doing, I want it to be to where it pleases God and what I do. And Paul was reminding them of that. Know ye not that your body is the temple of God? And we can destroy it by just what we do with it. And we take it for granted that it belongs to him. And one of the problems that I believe, again, that they were having, Paul said, you're not even ready because you're still doing the same thing. You're still acting like worldly people. And you're destroying the temple of God. And that was one of the things that they were doing. And I believe that's why he was addressing that, the destruction that they were doing. You know what? It is one of the greatest possessions. He says, know ye not, because we possess the Spirit of God. And ye are means that we have the privilege this tonight to have the Holy Spirit of God. In other words, we have the down payment for our sin resting inside of us. And we ought not take it for granted. We ought not take it for granted. Because God gave us his very best when he sent his son to die. And he gave us a seal and a bond. When God looks at you as a Christian, I hope he ain't ashamed to look down and see what you do with his spirit and where you take it, what you do with it, how you treat it. Quench not the Holy Spirit of God. And we can take water. It's just like taking water and pouring it on the spirit and dampening it and keeping it from doing whatever it is that God would have it to do in our Christian life. You know what? If you don't feed it, it don't grow either. So what are we doing in that regard? See, this ain't deep. It's just basic stuff. I need to be reminded of it. This year, as I was saying early, this year holds great opportunities for us as Christians to get on board, to do things that will be pleasing to God. Because you don't know when you might stand before him. And I want him to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. I want him to say that. I don't want to be ashamed. And this is just the basic stuff.
Amen.
Are you carnal? He said, take heed how you build. Because you're building something. You're putting something on that foundation.
That's right.
Is it going to withstand the test of time? Maybe you're here tonight and you don't know Christ as Savior. You know what? That's the greatest decision that you could ever make. He says there's no greater foundation that could be laid than that which is that's already been laid, and that is of Jesus Christ. What about you here tonight? Can you say without a shadow of a doubt, 100% surety, that if you die, you know you're going to go to heaven? None of this would ever make any sense to you unless you know that for a fact. I know that Mr. Robert, his name was Robert. I can't remember his last name. I had to look at my phone. But I know what? If he leave this world, I believe with all my heart that he's going to be in heaven. And I was telling Gabby, you know what? That gave me the greatest joy when I looked at my father and I saw him in that same condition. It gave me the greatest joy that I remember without any doubt. One morning I called him and he was going into the hospital to have some kind of procedure done. And I asked them the same question. And when you're in the country and your family's serious about when they're talking to you, they said, boy, when they call you boy, they serious. He said, boy, I don't know that. I said, would you like to know? And I shared the gospel with him.
Amen.
And my father got gloriously saved.
Amen.
And I know this, and I was sharing with Gabby. You know what? If nothing else ever happens in this life, you wake up one day. If God takes him home, you can rejoice because he'll be in heaven.
That's right.
Because God said his word will never return to him void. It's going to accomplish that which he pleases. And wherever he sent it, it's going to accomplish that which he pleases. What about you tonight? What are you building? This year, it's a great opportunity to build the right things. Because you're going to stand before God and you're going to be rewarded. Wood, hay, or stubble. Make sure it's precious, silver and gold, and precious stone. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you again for tonight. God, thank you for your blessings. God, thank you for the opportunity that we have tonight to be in your house. And Lord, the challenge that we've seen here tonight from the Word of God and how Paul is writing to a church here at Corinth that was going through some times there that he needed to deal with what they were doing to show them where they were. And God, how we need to today to see in our own lives that we can be just like this church that Paul is writing, because we're not building the right things. And how are we building in our Christian life? Will it withstand the test of times? Father, I pray and ask you to take these words and these thoughts and these things that were said to drive these home in our hearts and lives. And God, I pray that you would just work in our lives in a special way. We're going to ask the pianist to play with heads bowed and eyes closed and no one looking around. I'm just going to ask you a question tonight. Can you, with an uplift hand, say that you are 100% sure that if you die tonight, you know you go to heaven? Can you raise hand as a testimony to say that tonight, that you're 100% sure of where you spend eternity? I see those hands. You can put those down. I see those hands. You know, it is not my desire to embarrass anyone, but maybe you're here tonight and you can't raise that hand and you're not 100% sure. You know, you're amongst people that love you and that care for you. And if you would slip that hand up tonight by testimony that you say, Pastor White, I'm not 100% sure that if I die, I go to heaven. I want to pray for you tonight. I'm not going to come and embarrass you. I'm not going to try to put you on a spot. That is not my desire. But if you're here tonight and you couldn't raise your hand as a testimony of the assurance of heaven, but you would like me to pray for you tonight so that maybe God would work in your heart that you might one day come to know that truth, would you slip up your hand at this time? Anyone here like that tonight? You're not sure that if you die, you go to heaven. You give that testimony. I want to pray for you. I'm not going to come to you and embarrass you. I want you to do it because you realize in your heart and life that you're not saved. Anyone like that tonight? Amen. Maybe you're here tonight as a Christian and you say, Pastor White, you sparked some things in my life tonight, and there's some things that I need to deal with as a Christian tonight, and I know that I'm not doing and building the way that I ought to. You know, it's not that I can look at your heart, but God looks at your heart. Maybe you want to tonight to come to an old-fashioned altar and pray and ask God to give you some things that will help you to be faithful to what you ought to be doing as a Christian. Because maybe the things that you're doing, you don't have the right heart. You don't have the right motivations and the motives for what you're doing. And you know that it may not be pleasing to God. Maybe you need to come to an old-fashioned altar and ask God to help you in that area. I'm going to have everyone stand to their feet tonight as the music continues to play. And maybe God has spoken to your heart about something that you need to do. You come and let God deal with you for whatever it is that God would have you to do tonight. And I'm going to ask our pastor to come and he can close this service as he sees fit. Many are coming tonight, and may it be because God has spoken in your heart about something that you need to do.
Amen. As Christians are praying, maybe God's spoken in your heart. Maybe there's some things that you need to come down to an old-fashioned altar and get settled. Make a decision for Christ. I don't know what it may be. Maybe something at your job. Maybe something with a husband, maybe something with a wife, maybe something with a child, something with a parent, but maybe something according to your building. The foundation has been laid, and you can't build a better foundation than the foundation has been laid on Jesus Christ.